there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. All of my guests inspire me with their creativity, intelligence, and drive, but my guests today really blew me away. Nikita and Samara are high school students in Massachusetts who realized that STEM instruction, which is so vitally important to every child, was simply out of reach for most. Instead of waiting around for adults to fix the problem, they created GenXL, a nonprofit that provides free STEM lessons for more than 50,000 under-resourced students all over the world. This is a mind-blowing accomplishment, and I hope Nikita and Samara's entrepreneurial spirit will inspire and motivate you to find solutions for the problems you see in your community. Welcome back, everybody. I'm really excited to introduce you to my two new friends today. I have Nikita and Samara, and they're here to tell us about their organization, GenXL. Hi, girls. How are you?
Hi, we're good. Good. How are you?
Thanks so much for being with me today. So why don't we start with you guys introducing yourselves, how old you are, where you live, where you go to school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff, and then start from the very beginning and tell me everything about GenXL.
My name is Nikita. I'm a junior at Acton Boxborough, and this is our fourth year with GenXL.
Amazing. And where is that located? Where are you?
We're based in Boston, Massachusetts.
Nice.
Yeah, and I'm our co-founder, Samara. We go to the same high school, Acton Boxborough. We're both juniors, and this is our fourth year. And I guess a little bit of background on GenXL. So this started when we were just about wrapping up eighth grade. And it really started because our eighth grade year was through the pandemic. So we were dealing with online school and async work, and our options going into high school and the course selection that we were given were pretty limited. And so right off the bat, we noticed that, okay, we're not being offered the same amount of classes. We can't take the same electives. There's so many different changes going on. And we thought, you know, if we have these changes in our community, given that we come from a relatively affluent community, we can't imagine how it's affecting other regions in the country. So that's really how we started it. And then it grew to something so much bigger than I think either of us could even really imagine, especially when we started to look at our international chapters, because we really started to observe the challenges that they were going through. So for example, in some of our locations in Africa, the challenges, they're there, but they're completely different. So the way we even go about tackling it is completely different. So for example, we were running a workshop there the other day where we were bringing computers to them for the first time, and they hadn't ever coded or had a computer to work with. They were just sort of doing things on chalkboards. And so, you know, the challenge is different and our approach is different, but learning about the different ways that we can help across the world has been one of the most exciting parts for us. And I guess one of the most beautiful parts about working through something like this.
Sure. So Nikita, tell us a little bit more though about the actual program. Is it online classes? Is this enrichment after school on the weekends? Like exactly how does this work?
Yeah, I'd love to. So GenXL originally started as an online course offering platform, especially because we were based out of the pandemic. And so we thought that the best way of us to kind of get out there and to get people to learn about stuff that we were offering was through the internet. And I think that a lot of things actually shifted towards the internet in the past 4 years. As the pandemic ended, we've seen a lot more opportunities with technology growing in the internet, but also careers forming through the internet and what different technologies offer. So for example, in the past 4 years, we've seen career paths like in AI and these big technologies that we kind of never saw in the past. And so the world was moving so fast that we saw the need for people all around the world to learn about these different technologies and different changes. And so to kind of keep the whole world on the same pace and we can kind of go forward in technology together. And so I think that after kind of having a lot of online workshops during the first 2 years of the program, 2021, 2022, we started to shift more towards in-person programs. And a lot of these pictures can be seen on our Instagram, but we kind of have different chapters set up all around the world. And these chapters kind of will organize in-person events in their areas. And the reason for us doing this, instead of kind of a group of people going out into multiple areas and organizing it themselves, is that people who are based in those areas can kind of tell us what people there actually need and what they're actually looking for. And so I think that instead of us assuming what they have and what they need and what they're interested in learning, people who are based in the area can tell us better because they live there and they're based there. And so that's why we've kind of set up these ecosystems all around the world to help students who have privilege in those areas teach underprivileged students in those areas. And so we've been able to kind of create systems in Thailand and India and just all around the world to have people who know what the actual need factor is. And that's...
Wow, that's amazing. So I have two follow-up questions. So who teaches the classes? So it's peer-to-peer. So it's older students teaching younger students or students of the same age. Is that true? Yes?
Sometimes, yeah. So we do high schoolers, older high schoolers that mentor, teach the younger students. And we're sure to, you know, interview them and kind of vet them just to make sure that they're really knowledgeable about the material, but also that they know how to conduct themselves when helping students and teaching and sort of helping around.
Right. Okay. And then the second question, Nikita, is how did you set up chapters or ambassadors in other countries? So you mentioned Thailand and India. How did you find the people to do this? And then that's sort of amazing to me, right?
Well, I think that this also comes back to just the importance of technology. And I think that a lot of the outreach that we've been able to do and kind of helping other people learn about our mission is all through technology. And so originally we started reaching out to people or programs or nonprofits in other areas that would be interested in partnering with us. And from there, people kind of just started reaching out to us and they were like, hey, I have these skills and I want to help my community. And this has kind of made this brilliant network of students who are able to help other students in this like non-judgmental environment where we can just offer our skill sets to other students. I mean, we were even able to have an online course with university students in Kenya. As high schoolers here, and we were able to explore different like career paths in machine learning with these students. And it was just really inspiring to see how we can bridge together people from different parts of the world and in different interests and different kind of opportunities and all have them learn together. I think that's amazing.
No, it absolutely is. And again, the content of the class itself, Samara, is that it's an area of expertise that someone wants to share. So it's a class. So for example, it's something that they know something about, right? That they've either taken a class on or they've, you know, have some knowledge base and that's what they're sharing. So there's no textbooks per se or workbooks or anything like that. You're not using sort of a set curriculum. This is just a way to help other people to get it, to gain sort of a basic understanding of a subject matter. And then if they wanted to dive deeper, obviously there's other online courses and things. Is that true?
Yes. And so actually, that's a really big part of our whole moral that we sort of lead by is we really wanted to, in the process of all of this, try to understand what were some of the limitations that are created through a public school system that we go through. And also, what are some of the things that are not so good and maybe a little outdated? And so for us, immediately, we thought we want to make learning fun again. We don't want to make it seem like school because learning can be so fun, but like school and, you know, taking tests and studying, that can be really lethargic a lot of times. So we don't do tests and we don't follow, you know, a textbook of any kind. And we try to make it as hands-on and experiment-based as possible. And even in the classes like computer science, where you're not necessarily doing experiments, we really teach through project-based learning. So the students will create a fun game to show some of the things that we've learned together. And I think that's super important because it shows them also the importance of why are you even learning this, you know, why is this important? And then you can actually see that, hey, I can, you know, use these skills to build a really important game in the future or an algorithm in the future. And so that was a really big component of how we wanted to structure these. And kind of getting back to the first part of your question, yes, we do have high school students design the curriculum a lot of times. And we have teams of people that sort of get together and edit slideshows and that sort of a thing, just to make sure that the content is really hitting all of the right spots.
How do they get the word out to enroll students, right? So it's several different pieces here, right? There's like the teacher piece and then the student piece and like bringing people together. And then back to my question, I think a little while ago, which is this done sort of asynchronously? So it's just sort of available online whenever people are ready to take the class, or is it live? Like that's, you know, what are the sort of logistics of it?
In the past 2 years, we've kind of shifted a lot of our focus to more in-person programs and having our in-person chapters focus on the kids around them. And so their way of marketing depends on what resources the students have. For example, if it's more of a area where people are constantly checking social media and stuff like that, we'll have more posts on social media. And if it's not, we'll have like posters in the towns and things like that, just to kind of tell people where workshops are happening. Workshops tend to take places at schools, libraries, after school, in meeting areas, things like that. And so a lot of these Gen Excel chapters will host events in their areas. And then that's kind of how the students join. And as for content and like for curriculum, we have certain, like we have Google Drives and we have a lot of our teachers compile resources for other teachers to look at. We'll have curriculum in this large kind of shared folder. And so a lot of people who are interested in volunteering and maybe want to think of what science experiments can I do with the kids, or like what kinds of Python projects can I have them code? We have a large database where students and teachers share things and resources. And that's kind of where, how we're able to also teach each other as volunteers.
Sure. Well, and now you have some best practices, right? You have sort of this wealth of information. Why not share it with each other? And then it just, that just, you don't have to reinvent the wheel every single time someone has an interest in a class that they want to teach. So have there been any challenges or obstacles that you faced in putting this together? Anything that sort of surprised you and different ways that you've had to overcome them, Samara?
Yeah, definitely. I think what brought some of the biggest challenges is our outreach and the scale that we've hit. So becoming international has been so nice because we're able to reach out to so many different students, but it's really forced us to become more worldly in our perception of things. So we really had to understand that every scenario, every chapter, every location, they all have things that they need that are different and situations that are different. So coordinating that became a bit a part of the challenge. And so I remember the first time I really had to think about that was with one of our first in-person chapters that we hosted in India. And we had done in-person chapters locally in the United States. So we sort of knew how that, you know, went, and we had a list of experiments that we typically did and et cetera. And then all of a sudden we had our chapter lead in India saying, okay, well, we don't have these materials and this is in a rural area, so I can't do this. So how am I supposed to go about this? And so we really worked together closely to bridge together solutions of, okay, like if we can't do this, let's shift the focus to this. And so that was a big part of trying to become very understanding of each scenario, because that's a huge part of how we're actually going to make sure that the kids are learning and that they're engaged, is really making sure that they're getting something out of it. And it's so important to us that each one of these experiences really are meaningful, because it's not a checklist to us. It's not about let's host the chapter. It's let's do it right, you know? So that's been a big part of something we've had to think about.
Well, and just making sure things are culturally appropriate, the language that's being used, like, you know, and to your point, you know, if someone's in a rural area and they don't have the resources, or they don't have the computers, or they don't have the things that they need for an experiment, like, well, what are you going to do instead? You know, there has to be a way to teach the lesson, and we have to be creative about how we do this. I mean, what's sort of amazing, girls, is like, you are just forging ahead with a concept that, you know, a lot of really big NGOs out there in the world and government organizations, like a lot of people have tried to figure out ways to get education and thinking and creative ideas out into, you know, rural communities all over the world. And it's really, really challenging, because sometimes you get pushback from the local community. Sometimes they don't want you in there. Sometimes they don't want you teaching with the thing that you're teaching, right? I mean, I just love that you have this sort of like, we're just going to go ahead and do this and see how it goes, and respond in a way when folks from these different communities come to you and say they want to teach a class, you're going to give them the tools to do it. Well, I mean, I think it's really exciting and good for you. Like, I think we all get sort of tied up in our own heads of how is this going to work, and it couldn't possibly work, and there's so many obstacles to this, so it's not even worth trying. But of course it is. Nikita, how can people get involved in this? Like, is there, you know, do you do any fundraising? Are you looking for funds to, you know, to keep this going and to grow it? Can people sign up to be tutors? Can people sign up to start chapters? Like, how can folks get involved?
Yeah. First of all, we're so thankful for all the out, like, kind of interest that we've gotten as a community. And I think that it's so brilliant. And the way that we've been able to grow in just the past 4 years and have such a big impact is so amazing. A lot of our information can be found on our website at genxl.org. And we also constantly post updates on our Instagram page about fundraisers that we're hosting or collaborations that we're doing. We recently had a fundraiser with Pura Vida, and so we're selling a custom GenXL bracelet, and 40% of the proceeds go to us. And so any fundraisers that we host will be posted about on our Instagram page.
Amazing. And the money that you raise goes toward curriculum, resources, yeah. Computers, all of the things.
Exactly. Yeah. So a lot of our in-person workshops have needs. And so we kind of have to help them out with funds like that.
No, absolutely. And the Instagram is at GenXL. Yes.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, girls, this is really exciting and wonderful. And again, good for you for just like having an idea and going for it. You are obviously not the first folks to say to me that, you know, during the pandemic when things were really tough and you were learning in an asynchronous way and that how challenging that was for you and you who have the privilege of having computers and Wi-Fi and supportive family and schools and that how many kids around the world didn't have all of those advantages. I think it's really wonderful that you took a tough situation and you're trying to make something good out of it. And as you've said, even as we emerge out of the pandemic, these issues don't go away, right? And so the work that you're doing is even more important. And you're right, there has to be a level playing field. Everybody should have the same access to the same education and information. Well, thank you so much for sharing this story. I can't wait to share it with everybody else. I hope everyone goes and looks at genxl.org. So please stay in touch with us and let us know how this grows and changes over time. Best of luck to you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having us. Yeah.
Pleasure. Take care.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.